Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And I just want to say before we start the show today, your energy level couldn't be any more subdued.
Oh, sorry about that.
I don't know. Just if you were like...
Hi, Julie.
Thank you.
Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Please.
And I'm Christine Marie, and you are Julie.
Yes.
And we are mother and daughter.
Yes.
And we are... BFFs. Can I say that?
Yeah. That's
and we are co-conspirators in all this crime that we've done all these years. We were laughing this morning about some of the antics that 20-year-old parents, 20 parents in their 20s.
In the 70s. Find themselves.
Parents in their 20s in the 1970s do their kids.
Well, it's interesting because I was listening to... I listened to this podcast called Something Stalking, Suddenly Stalking, or it kind of has a fun name, but it's a real big downer. And it's just about these women who are and men who are just stalked, and you never know. And you almost just want to pray to God, like, you're never in someone's field of that they be, you become their object of obsession for whatever reason.
Right.
You know, I mean, they've had parents... obsess over adult kids and like adoptive parent, like, you know, the real, it's just weird, weird stories. But the one they talked about now, and it was this woman who was discussing, she was growing up in the 80s and she referred to her parents as hippies, but mostly they were just so bored or tired from, they had a farm, they worked themselves, and they were, she said, on the spectrum, that they basically just ignored the couple kids they had. Mm-hmm. And to the point where the kids were always lonely because they didn't go to school, mm-hmm. because they were quote unquote self-taught, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, they were hippies, right? But mostly they just were really piss poor parents, because mm-hmm. you guys grow, you know, I would consider yourself hippie-ish, mm-hmm. but the one thing that kind of was your saving grace in some sense was that you loved us. Like, and you liked us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we never felt alone. But you still were 22 years old with two fucking kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, your frontal lobe wasn't developed all the way yet.
I doubt if it's is still.
But... It's developed. I can... Girlfriend, I sometimes...
It's developed and it has atrophied.
Oh, it's gone completely the different way then, right? Mm-hmm. There are moments I just think that you're way too smart for the world. Like, the world just can't... handle your brilliance or your life.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
But it was interesting because I think we were talking to Dad, and I don't know what he was bringing up, but it struck a memory in you,
mm-hmm.
about how this time when Norm happened to be in jail for whatever reason.
In Chicago. Yeah.
And I go, why were you in jail, Dad? And I know this story kind of, and he said, that's neither here nor there. I'm like, well, no, that's really kind of a big part of the puzzle. I'd like to know why my father was in jail. I know it's 50 years ago, but why? What happened? And it had something to do with the trucking. I don't even know. Did he lose his license?
I don't know. I don't remember.
He
was always, there were many times that he was taken by the police.
Well,
we lived in Bolingbrook. The cops came to the door one time and looking for him.
For what reason?
Some trucking issue.
Well, it's so bizarre because, honestly, you know.
Like, what trucking issue
was
it?
Yeah, Dad needs to, I mean, like, Dad has been a trucker his whole life.
Right.
So whatever it wasn't bad enough that they took away his license.
Oh, no, no.
It could have been false identity. Who knows?
Well, who knows?
But it was weird because he was literally harassed by the popo. Mm-hmm. Being a young guy.
Yeah.
Kind of from Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
Like, getting, you know, like, what the heck?
So the story goes
like this. So you're then having to drive from the suburbs to Chicago,
which for the Forest Reach suburb,
which is not good because you're also not the best driver even back then.
Right.
High anxiety issue.
Yes.
I mean, why would you? You're a woman with two young kids.
Yeah.
Mother forced her out of the house because, you know, didn't want to bring shame to the good Catholic name, you know, and the family and all that stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of drama around. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having to drive to downtown Chicago to pick up your husband
in a great big Oldsmobile.
Yes. And, and of course, you couldn't even think about or suggest doing this without
A bourbon and Coke. Right.
So that's fine. Mm-hmm. I would have thought two would probably have done you. I mean, you would need a two to get through this time.
Well, I did use, you know, in those days, a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
They had the big Slurpee.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was a 44-ounce yeah. Slurpee. Well, I put my drink in that.
Oh, so it was like two or three to go.
And so I made it look like it was with a straw.
Yeah.
And a lid.
It was a big gulp.
So, yeah, it's a big gulp.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, Styrofoam big gulp, they're 32 ounces back in the day. They've increased them, but I think back in the day, yeah. It was 32 ounces. Yeah. So, and then you get pulled over by the popo.
Yes.
Because you...
Well, the sun was in my eyes.
Of course.
And I missed the stop sign.
Wasn't because...
In downtown Chicago.
It wasn't because you've already had about 10 ounces of your big gulp.
And drinking and driving was not a crime in those days, I don't think.
It might have been a crime,
it
but
might
it
have
wasn't
been just like not looked after.
Yes, there wasn't the pushback of like somewhere in the early 80s. There was like we got people just dying like crazy from drinking and driving.
That's
we
not,
got
it's not cool.
It's
people.
Not cool. Now it's not even buzz.
Now you got to slow your roll.
Exactly. But back in the day, it was okay to have both your kids in the car, and so
in the back seat, loose.
Yes.
Well, Greg was in the front.
Greg's in the front seat. I'm sure
you were napping.
Yeah, I'm on the probably like laying down, and then I'm sure that at this moment Greg's not wearing a seatbelt because no kid did.
No, I don't even know the car. Yeah, I'm sure the car had some. Yeah, but, you know.
But so you get pulled over, and the first thing you thought of, you knew you. I mean, it was illegal. It wasn't looked upon as being totally illegal drink and drive.
Right.
But it certainly was looked upon as not like appropriate.
Right.
Because you knew you had your wits enough to give the 32-ounce big gulp of bourbon and Coke to your 3-year-old son in the car.
Oh, he was a little older. I think he's about five.
Five. Okay, good. Five years old.
Yeah. So because he's it looks, seat. You know, it was in like a. You know, one of those Slurpee cups that had like little farm animals on it.
Yeah, it looked very
kid-like. It was white. It was very kid-like.
Yeah.
And I did hand it to him.
Got it.
And I said to him, mm-hmm. as the cop is coming from behind me, mm-hmm. make sure you drink this drink so it looks like it's yours.
Yeah.
And not mine.
Yeah.
Not like you're just holding it for me.
And then did you also say... Don't tell anybody, but it's filled with booze. And if the cops find out, we're all going to jail. Yeah. Did you say that?
You're going to be in jail with your father.
Yeah. So he's like shaking in his boots. Oh, my God.
And he's just sipping that drink.
Well, you know what, though? When those things happen when you're a little kid, you don't necessarily feel bad or scared. What you feel like as you're part of the tribe.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. My parents are giving me this huge responsibility.
My daddy's in jail.
My dad's in jail.
My mom could be going to jail. The cop, the popo's after my mom.
Yeah.
And I'm here holding this drink.
What can I do? I'm only 5 years old.
I got to sip this.
I got to sip this bourbon and Coke. And this is my job. This is my responsibility. And, you know, and like I said, if that was one of 1,000 different situations.
Thank you, Gregorio.
Yeah. Thanks for taking one for the team, my man.
Yeah.
But if that was one of 1,000 situations where you guys acted kind of inappropriately, we would be to have taken away. But it wasn't. It was like two or three situations.
Then we talked about the one that one led to the night that we were going to dump trash.
Yes.
Or some kind of.
So
not
I don't
garbage,
remember this, yeah.
But we were cleaning out the basement or the garage.
And back in the day, it was not uncommon. It was sort of like, okay, it was before the American Indian was caught crying because we're polluting his environment. And
right.
Before the owl said, don't pollute, give a hoot. Or
all those, before that.
Yeah. We had discovered that there was an empty lot where people were just throwing trash.
Yes.
And we're like, well, shit.
It wasn't easy to find.
No. I don't know how you rolled across this lot.
I don't either.
Dad might have because he was delivering to an industrial spot or
right,
who knows.
Possibly.
But so in your broad idea, because I know you, if you're like, you wouldn't be the first one to dump trash there, but if somebody else is dumping it, you're like, oh, I've got trash that could be dumped, and I don't want to pay extra $50 to my trash guy to pick it up.
And I want to say it wasn't like trash from the weekly trash. It was like things that were in our
basement,
our garage.
Yeah, moving trash.
Right.
The things that you accumulate that you're like no longer
could be straps
do.
And, you know, cords.
And so you're driving and you...
We have Norm's mom's big ass Oldsmobile station wagon.
Mm.
And those were huge. They got like 4 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
And so I had all the trash in, or whatever you want to call it. But I had had sheets over. I put sheets over it as we traveled. And so I get sort of halfway into the place and... Popo
come get you.
Come Popo.
Yeah.
And so Greg is with me.
Yeah.
And of course I hand the sippy cup once again to Greg.
Yeah.
And the first thing he says is, what are you doing here? And I think, I'm not sure if he asked Greg first. He talks to Greg first. He says, son, what's your name? And then he goes,
Greg Peters.
Who's this lady with you? Oh, that's my mom. Mm. And I think that's the... So first thing, I'm not dealing in child trafficking.
Yeah, thank God. By the way, that wasn't a thing back then. It was more like, I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, it was before the milk cartons.
We weren't totally concerned
by it.
Right. So he was just being a good cop.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, ma'am, you know, the reason I stopped you is I saw that you had your back area was pretty full, and we've discovered that people are dumping in this area.
Yeah.
And that's illegal. And he says, I noticed that you have, and I said, oh, I'm just heading to the laundromat.
Yeah.
As you can see, I have all these sheets back here.
wait. You know, you are so psychic. Not consciously did you have the thought like, I should make this look like bags of laundry.
Right.
But subconscious, somewhere in the darkness of your mind, you're like, I need to pretend, I may have to make this look like laundry.
Yeah.
Okay, so good. Yeah.
So, and he goes, oh, well, that's good. He goes, but where's the laundromat at?
Yeah.
I go, well, this is a shortcut.
Through this industrial park. Because we live over there.
At 9 o'clock at night. under the guise of darkness. Oh, my God.
Well, and so it's so interesting. So, Gregory, we kept his cool.
Oh, yeah, he kept his cool.
I appreciate that of him. Well, it's weird, though.
Once again, thanks a lot, Gregorio.
Yeah, you know, in some ways,
if he said, that's my mom.
Yeah, if you need to have someone help you bury a body.
Because he could have said, I don't know this woman.
please
help me.
I do not know this woman. But I know that she does make really good bologna Mexican hats. Mm-hmm. You know, that she loves making that for dinner at night. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. the
bologna for dinner.
Yep.
And breakfast.
Yep. But see, the thing is, like, looking back, everybody needs a little bit of something to work against.
Right.
You know, if we would have had a perfect childhood, complete with parents that had more than enough money, more their life, they always had goals they achieved. They were, you know, like all of these things. I think something else comes up. I mean, you hear these parents.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You always need something to work against. And we always had just enough. And because we liked our parents, we didn't just love you, because I would think most parents love you. Mom's giving me a clue.
No, I was wanting you to tell about the wig story.
Oh, the wig story.
Only because
I
had two Gregorio stories, so I didn't want you to feel...
I don't feel
short-sheeted.
Oh, trust me. The stories I could tell about what I had to do for my family are long and deep. And I will share one, the big one. It's not even a big one. It's kind of funny. So you were getting your master's degree when we were going through high school. And still dealing with the same shit you've always dealt with, which is anxiety, depression, you know, but not big stuff, just little stuff, right? And I say that because Mom's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, like, okay.
Are you talking about the course?
Yeah.
Well, because I had failed it in college. So I didn't think I could. It was statistics.
Yes.
And I'd already failed it once.
Right.
At SIU.
I guess I said anxiety because it took a lot for you to go to this school anyway.
Right.
And you're like, you know, and you were becoming a psychotherapist because you had done your own counseling. And you're like, I could do this. This would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, dive deeper in what you want to know, learn more about.
Right.
But you had anxiety over math.
Right.
And statistics. And you had...
Because I had failed it already.
I know, but I know you. You're not a moron around math.
Okay, so here's the thing. I had failed it once. Then Norm took it for me.
Yeah.
In college.
Yeah.
Under my name as Chris.
As Chris, yes.
And he got a D.
Of course.
And so I still had
And he was an engineer major.
he was a math major.
A math major, yeah. Yes.
And so then, so I still had to get a passing grade.
Yes.
In it.
So this is when
I had to take it a third time. And you had gotten an A in it.
I got an A in math, yeah.
No, I think you had taken statistics.
I don't usually offer it to juniors in high school.
Oh, okay. Well, you were doing good in math. Let's just put it that way.
Exactly. Or seniors in high school. Maybe they were. But you're right. So anyway, you had...
That's how my memory goes.
And that's fine. But you had asked me. And I don't know. I'm curious. Like, did you talk it over with Dad first? Yeah, right. You're left. Like, what? But you just came to me like, hey.
Dad's never home.
I've got this brilliant idea. I'm like, what is it, Mom? You're smart. And I think this would be awesome for you to, like, take my statistics class for me. I'm like, well, don't they check, you know, like, don't they, wouldn't they know it was not you? Like, no, because once you, like, in this class, it's a whole different teacher. And I would never know. And I would make sure that none of my others, it would be a totally different
class
yeah. completely. I'm like, well, sure, why not? I go, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it.
But just in case... Since you had blonde hair,
yes,
and I have red, I bought you
a red wig. just in case someone talked about, hey, there's this cool woman named Christine in class, and oh yeah,
oh, is she the redhead?
Yeah.
I guess you could say so.
Well, thank God you didn't make me write with my fucking left hand because you're left-handed. If you were a monk, you would have been like, hey, to make the look go right, you need to use your left hand.
And
like,
right.
Oh, my God. But so I took your class, statistics class. Now, mind you, I'm carrying a full load in high school, and I have a job. And, I'm like, hey, I can do this, no problem. And I was pretty proud of myself because I got a B.
Yes.
I was actually a B+.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, but you didn't.
Got a big plus for me in statistics.
Yeah, but you didn't really.
I wasn't
pressure. You didn't really tell me in the beginning, you know, to emphasize, you know, not to put pressure on you, but to press upon you how important it would have been for me to get an A.
Mm-hmm.
You should have used a little bit of incentive, like mm-hmm. a couple $100 at the end of the class. Like, hey. I need an A in this class. If you get an A, I'll give you $500.
Mm-hmm.
That would have worked. I would have done.
Yeah. You probably would have, yeah.
I would have. Instead, I'm like, Mom should be happy. I'm getting her a B. What else does she want? Oh, no. This woman who has gotten straight A's beforehand, she wanted the A. Now, I got her a B, which was not good enough. So, in my mind, I had this specific
You had this idea that we were going to, I was going to be joyful.
Yeah, I had this. I was like, oh, Mom, you got a B. And you're like, I got a B? You were so pissed that day. I was like, what's going on here? You were so pissed at me for getting a B. It was crazy how angry you were. Because you had straight A's before then. Mm-hmm. But like I said, you didn't press upon me to get an A.
I know. But
that was your bad.
They were making me the class whatever.
Yeah, you were the hoo-hoos of college people. And so you made me call my professor.
Yes.
And basically grovel.
Yeah.
And I remember you being there with me. And I'm like... All right, Mom, I'll call the guy again.
I remember you said that the last thing he said to you is, oh, my God.
God, what do you want?
What do you want?
I go, I want an A. Fine. Good. Thank you.
Click.
Got your A, Mom. It's like, great. It's like, dude, if you only realize that I cannot get off the phone with you until you agree to be an A. So one of us is either we're going to die talking to each other or you're going to give my mom an A. That's the only way this conversation ends. Okay, so just wanted to let you know this. I can tell you the truth about this, but that I can't really tell you the truth.
Right.
The truth is either I will die on this phone trying to talk you into giving me an A.
Or you will
have to give me the A.
Yeah.
Let's just end this now and give me the fucking A. And he did. And you've been a math whiz ever since. Total math whiz.
I finally understand statistics.
Yes, you did. It was good. But it's funny because like I hear these kids talk about their parents and I have to admit, sometimes they relay stories that are similar to our experiences, but they're coming from a spot of like victim, like they feel like, oh, my childhood wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. My childhood was, it was, you know, and I'm like, I never felt that way.
No, it was exciting.
I felt that it was exciting. It was us against them.
Yes.
I mean, I guess in some ways, you could have been good gypsy parents.
Yeah, you know, there are things that I wouldn't have done now as an older parent.
Of course, I think.
I mean, like when we had our popcorn store.
Yeah.
I would not have let you and Greg overnight in the back room. Yeah. Like, hey, camp out.
Yeah.
Sleeping bags.
Yeah.
In the popcorn store.
So that you can be there tomorrow next morning. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. And when we came in the next morning, I mean, I came in a little early.
Yeah.
Knowing that my kid. You guys had a popcorn fight.
Yeah.
And there was just popcorn everywhere.
I don't remember this.
How do we ever think about leaving two kids overnight?
In a candy store.
Oh, and remember it was in the back room.
Yeah.
And I said, the cops come by and patrol, so you cannot have a light showing through the door.
Did you just want a little alone time with Dad?
Possibly.
Oh, that is hysterical.
But we had to put towels underneath the door so there would be no
one
light
would know
coming out.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
crazy talk.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have done that.
No, I appreciate that.
I wouldn't do that now. I wouldn't even leave my damn dog then alone.
Yeah, we don't leave our dog. I know we never leave our dog alone. Neither. I mean, so
what was I thinking?
You were thinking everything's okay. But also, nowadays, we literally have 24-hour news cycles and 24-hour true crime channels.
Yes.
I mean, back then, literally, life was okay.
Yeah.
And if the po-po picked you up, you didn't feel like you were going to get, you know, pistol whipped. You know?
If the po-po picked you up, I would read the sign on his door, which just said to serve.
And protect.
And to protect.
Yeah. And listen, when my mom starts going, the last thing an officer wants is to have my mom think of them as not protecting or serving.
Exactly.
It's like, listen here, mister. See that door? It says protect and serve. I don't feel protected or served. My tax dollars goes to paying you. Now, I will admit we haven't paid taxes in a while. But if we did, our tax dollars would go to paying you.
That's right.
You know,
I like my one line that I used. Excuse me, but are those white glove clients?
Oh yes,
like we are.
Like we are. See, Mom is really the master, the professor of.
You can't say master.
No, I can't. No. You can't say that, but you can't. The professor of manipulation. And guilt.
Oh.
I would have thought you had been a Jewish mom at one point. If that's, is that too much?
No.
You know, but Catholic moms are just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Catholic guilt.
It's horrible.
We can own that one.
Yeah, you can get that. You can do that. It's all good. I had we were talking about, this is totally off the subject, but you were mentioning like what happens at night. And like the coincidences at night, you know, like with Gregory and like the cops and all that stuff.
Oh, right.
But I have something interesting happen to me this week. And I want to kind of share it because it's kind of, we've been really focusing on blessings and miracles and just how amazing the world is. Like, I really feel that Greg and I picked you as parents.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I really do.
Thank you.
Not in a conscious way.
Of course not. But in a soulful way.
In a soulful way.
That the soul needed this.
Yeah, the soul needed this.
Yeah.
I know that I was brought on this planet to be your daughter. Nothing else has to be said more than that. I was pretty sure. You know, and then I had to be Dad's daughter too, which I was like a little less sure about that. Mm. But that's okay. So I've been seeing the world through this guise of just miracles lately, or just big blessings. So I'm driving, it's late, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And just the way this week has worked out, I've been driving a lot of nights this week. And it's a quiet night, so I don't mind it, except that I'm tired. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden I'm looking out my back window, my side window in my semi, and I see sparks on the ground. And I'm like, there's no other car around me. So I'm like, what the hell is this? Your first thought is somebody threw a cigarette out of a window.
Yeah.
There's nobody around me.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, did my dollies fall? Because that has happened to me before. The dollies fall down.
The dolly legs.
The dolly legs, and they hit the road. And I'm like, oh, man. But I'm not seeing anything more. So it was just like, okay, did I not see it correctly? And it's quiet out. So I'm like, just pull over. But I don't want to pull off the highway, go to a truck. No, there's none around.
No, right.
So I just pulled to the side of the road, put my blinkers on. And I take my flashlight and I go around the semi. And of course, at that moment, trucks start coming by me. And I'm like, oh, great. And I see nothing wrong with my semi. The tires are fine. Everything looks fine. Yada, yada, yada. And I go, okay, well, I've done my due diligence.
Right.
I'll get back in the truck. And sure enough, I move forward. Sure enough, about 5 minutes later, I see the popo lights on. And I'm like, oh, in front of me. I'm like, oh, okay. And I get closer and closer. And what's really weird about this is that I never seem to get caught up with a popo. Like, I know they're up there. I see the lights, but I'm not catching up to them. It's very weird.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting.
Yeah. And so finally, though, I get caught up to them. And they had just pulled over an Amazon Prime semi that had passed me before I pulled over.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool because maybe they're just waiting to check truckers out or whatever.
Right.
Because he was going fast. He wasn't going too fast.
Yeah. And so they got him instead
of
you.
Instead of me. I'm like, well, I'm going to go. That's
number
kind
one
of a,
miracle.
Number one miracle. Number one blessing. But then as I'm driving, I'm more toward Joliet. And I notice that there's this car in like near an exit ramp, like the avenue between the road and the exit ramp. And he's in such a way that he has hit a light pole and the light pole has fallen onto his car.
Oh my God.
But not all the way, just gently
just leaning on him. Yeah.
And I can't figure out how this happened. And there's nobody else involved except for this car. And I thought to myself, oh my God, what if I didn't pull myself over and check my truck, would I have just been there to be involved with this car?
Right.
Swerve, fall asleep. You know, maybe he was drinking, a bourbon and Coke.
And also maybe since it just landed lightly on his car, it might have not landed so lightly on your semi.
Oh, exactly.
Because it's higher up.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot of issues, and I don't know what's going on, but I thought, oh, my gosh.
If you hadn't stopped.
If I hadn't stopped.
Yeah.
Because I would love to be able to say, because last week we talked about the angel experience that we had with the singing. Okay.
Yes.
So I would love to be able to say that God, angels, whatever, that cosmic stream of the collective unconscious talks to us in very specific ways.
Right.
But sometimes it talks to us in ways that can get our attention.
Yes.
Because we think 50,000 thoughts a day. Mm-hmm. And to get through that chatter, it would be hard.
Absolutely.
But for me to see a spark, like, I'll
that would
pull
make,
over.
Because they know that that's what make you pull over.
That will make me pull over, you know. Don't want to see that happening.
That's
and then,
so sweet.
So I'm taking it that as that.
Yes.
But you can also get into this messed up head position because then now everything looks like a potential sign, you know, and like, is this the message I'm supposed to listen to God?
Right.
Or am I interpreting it this correctly or not correctly?
Right.
And you can go insane. So I always say my prayers, which is, Lord, open doors that no man can close. Close doors that no man can open. So I'm perfectly in your will.
That's right.
Because then at least it's my way of just being able to breathe.
And to cope with all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everything can look like a sign.
Yeah.
Everything.
Right.
The fact that McDonald's has a circle missing, the McDonald's billboard has this one perfect circle, like, lasered out of it.
Yeah. There's
and
like,
now it's gone.
The whole billboard's gone now.
Yes. So we have a billboard in Dixon.
Yeah. Entering Dixon.
They had a perfectly new McDonald's billboard.
Yes.
Kind of love it. And then you're like, and then one day.
There were three sandwiches on it. Mm-hmm. One day, one circle was taken. I saw that. I didn't want to shock you.
Oh, Jesus, Mom. You could have told me.
What am I going to say? Julie, there's a bug on your chest.
Yes.
And you'd freak out, right?
Well, no, I'd be like, yeah, I would have freaked out. I would have been like, what?
But now you handled it.
Yeah, I guess I did. I don't know where it went. Yeah. It was a big bug.
I know.
Yeah, okay. It was juicy, too. I'm like, oh, hello. Okay. So, yeah, big
So you would have liked to have known that, then.
You handled it fine.
Okay.
You handled it fine. I mean, yes, I would have liked to have known possibly, but this was fine. You know?
Yeah, you did it right.
Did it move at all? Was it just dead?
It didn't move at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking now it might have been chocolate. Possibly. It felt a little warm.
What? Sorry, that's so funny.
Yeah. Well, I had to have, because I'm doing my keto again, I get one pleasure a day, and that is my 87% cacao bar, my chocolate, which tastes like literal chalk. But when you're on, when you're giving.
That's why they call it cacao. Chocolate.
Oh, there you go. Brilliant. But it's literally the only thing that gives you texture in your life, because nothing, there's nothing crunchy on this program. Mm. You miss the crunch. Mm. But, you know, a chalk bar.
Yeah. I bet you could like cockroaches. You know how they
do it? Yeah, I'm not.
Ants?
Oh, Jesus.
It's like, bake them nice and crunchy.
Well, in my world, my chocolate looks like bugs. I just eat those. Okay, so anyway, we're talking about, I got distracted by the bug on my chest. I don't know. But anyway, so I thought.
Oh, the McDonald's billboard.
Oh, yeah. So for some reason, a 10-foot circle, perfect circle,
yeah,
was
just
removed.
Perfect.
From this billboard.
Yeah.
And I would literally think it was laser removed.
It looks like it was laser
and
removed.
And I only think of like UFOs would be doing this.
Right.
Something cosmic did this. And then finally got torn all the way off.
Yeah. And not in a pretty way.
Like what
just
happened
like ripped off
to this McDonald's billboard.
Yeah.
And so, but is that a sign? Because I've been thinking about this.
It's on a sign board. It is a sign.
Is it a sign for me to evaluate? And try
not to go to McDonald's anymore.
I guess which is true, which is not what I'm doing. So I agree with that. So do you want to share what's going on with Douglas today at all?
I kind of don't.
Okay, good.
I wanted to share a few things that Normano has said to me this week.
Lovely.
If I can remember them all now.
You can.
I've accused Norm over the decades that he's like Ford, that he always has a better idea,
yeah.
Which was Ford's, you know,
motto.
That was our motto in the day.
Yeah.
Ford, a better idea.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how Norm always is.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them don't pan out.
Okay.
So he had a few this week. One was he solved the problem of people playing in sports,
mm-hmm.
that, like, say, for example, girls who have turned into men.
Transgender,
Doing, like, MMA.
No, he means if you were a cis, born a man, cisgendered, but then trans into a woman.
Yes.
He thought it would, because I guess whatever podcast or things he was listening to today, this week, this conversation was being brought up about, is it appropriate for
MMA fighters,
right,
to be of, I don't know, if you're a girl but then you turn to man.
No, that's not that way.
No,
it's the other
way. Man,
no,
and you turn
no
to a
guy
girl.
Gives a shit about a girl turning into a guy and wanting to get in the ring with them.
Got it.
Nobody. That's the whole point. Because men like boy sports.
Yeah.
They're not giving a rat's ass about girls who transitioned into men,
right,
wanting to play sports with them.
Oh, it's the other way around.
Yeah, because
I get it because
the truth is there's no leg up,
right,
for women turning into men playing men's sports. There's just no leg up.
So this was like a man turning into a girl,
yes,
playing another girl during MMA,
yes.
And so Norm had this is a pretty bright idea. He said you can play in any sport that you want, as long as if your team is XX,
mm-hmm.
you got to be an XX.
Right.
If your team is XY, you got to be an XY. We don't care what you look like.
Yeah.
We don't care what your genitals look like.
Yes.
And we don't care what your breasts look like.
No, exactly.
You got to be either XX or XY. And he thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
And there's some brilliance to it.
Right, because it takes the... He would go, but he would. It takes it out of. I think he takes it out of being like judgy. Like you can be whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
If you feel like a woman or a man.
Yeah.
Like Dad said, because there are times he does feel more like a woman.
Yeah.
Now that his testosterone's dropped.
Right.
You know, he's like, I kind of feel girly today.
I feel pretty today.
I feel pretty today.
I kind of feel pretty.
And I, you know, he wears his you know, his kerchief around his neck in a very fashionable
ash color. Has those shirts that have this, like a longer neckline.
And I'm going, that could be a woman's shirt. He goes, I like this shirt. I think it looks nice on me and pretty on me.
I look pretty in
it. And I was like, you're totally right. Yeah. So, and I think he feels by doing that, the XX versus the XY or whatever, is that it keeps it cleaner. There's no judgment involved.
Right.
Now, it's funny because I guess there's laws coming out trying to prevent or define if men who transition into women, mm-hmm. if they can play female sports. Mm-hmm. And like I said, this is not a problem for guys. And you know it's not equally a problem. Because if it was equally a problem, the guys would have a problem with it too. But they don't have a problem with it. Because, and I was listening to this one professor.
Because like when the guy comes out and he's a girl, and he can play the best girl in the world, and he's just like one kick and she's out.
Yeah.
Because he's still stronger than all the girls.
Right. Well, and here's a dealio. If we're going to talk about this, we'll talk about it, I guess. It's kind of fun. It's just weird because, like, I just thought it was common sense that, hey, after a guy goes through puberty,
right,
they get stronger than girls. But before puberty, literally, girls can kick guys' butts.
Right.
They really can.
Yeah.
I was always the fastest kid in my class, the strongest kid in my class. And then puberty hits for the guys, and they just... they leap forward,
right.
You know? And so back in the day, women had to really fight to get equal sports in their high schools and colleges because they weren't putting money into those things.
No.
And so it does feel weird that we have to keep fighting for the right to have equal sports in, you mm-hmm. know, high school and stuff like that.
Right.
Now, I was listening to this one doctor, and he was saying how horrible it is to deny women, even if they've transgendered women, mm-hmm. from playing sports in the gender that they identify with, because they said truly it's only about 10-15% advantage, and sometimes it might not be an advantage.
Really?
Like being, you know, and I'm like, dude, you don't know what sports are like then, because mm-hmm. when you're playing sports, 10% advantage is
huge.
Everything.
Excuse me. As a Midwestern, I say huge.
Huge. You don't know anything about sports then, because you're just a moron, because 10% is huge.
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 Like Y-O-U.
Now, the truth is, though, I don't know if we should care enough about it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, you know what I'm saying? Like,
in the whole scheme of things?
Yeah. I mean, they, the woke police really started online, started getting mad at mm-hmm. Martina Navratilova, mm-hmm. which, you know, you're like, oh my God, she has gone through so much shit in her life to be where she was, to become this great tennis player, to be she's a lesbian,
right.
You know, and she had to walk this line of being out there.
Right.
And to think now, the woke police are like cutting her down because she's like, I just don't think transgender women should play in the same field as women.
Right.
And I'm like, that's a reasonable assumption. If you believe that, hey, testosterone does help with bone mass, muscle mass, all this stuff.
Right.
And in the world of sports, especially competitive sports, 10% is a lot.
Right.
Now, I'm okay in saying this. Guess what, everybody? Take what you want. You want to take testosterone? Take testosterone. You want to take, you know, steroids? Take steroids. I mean, we could say that mm-hmm. because that's kind of what's going on.
I see what you're saying.
You know, I mean, I don't know the answer.
Right.
Except that I don't know how big of a problem it really is. Because first off, you know, you gotta be good enough in sports to want to do this.
Right.
You gotta be.
I just don't know.
Is it really a big enough ordeal to like put a lot of time in it? But Normano mm-hmm. had this brilliant idea.
Right.
And it was just like, take out male, female. It's just XXYY or whatever, mm-hmm. XXXY, whatever it is. That's all it is. But I listened to this one podcast.
What was his other idea? He had four.
Yes. He decided that every person in the world gets a certain amount of energy.
Oh, okay. Now, so here's how Norm is going to solve the energy crisis.
Yes.
And by energy, we mean electricity, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's trying to solve.
He's meaning electricity.
Yeah. So he's saying that in the whole world, everybody gets a certain amount of energy dollars.
Yes.
To spend.
And like in our bank.
In a bank. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In our virtual bank.
Exactly. And if, let's say, you're like a big wig and you make lots of money and you want to, like, I don't know, have like fly around and do all
you
sorts
have two
of
houses.
Yeah. All that stuff. But it's more than what's in your energy allotment.
Yeah.
You can go purchase energy from poor people mm-hmm. in poor countries.
Yes. There is something fucking brilliant about this, by the way.
I know.
There really is. Because we talk about having a rich tax, but you can't ever figure out, like, well, who would it go to specifically? And would it help somebody specifically and not just be burned up in the bureaucracy?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You eliminate the bureaucracy.
So it's like everybody has a finite amount of energy they can use every year or monthly.
Yeah.
And because to keep the plant from getting hot.
Right. That was Norm's biggest. Norm's biggest.
This is really a brilliant plan.
Yeah.
And so let's say I'm just middle class Julie. Got a 1,500 square foot house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, but 2 of my bedrooms aren't used because I'm single and I live by myself. But I have to rent one
just
out.
Just saying.
I had to rent one out for Airbnb because I'm needing all the cash I can get. So that's one. Okay. And now Bill Gates, he's got a big house, big computer asses that require a lot of that power.
Yeah.
Now I just have one laptop. So I'm just requiring, you know, and I'm like, you know, last month, I'm allowed 40, you know,
credits
a month, and we'll call them ECs, like Bitcoin energy coins, mm-hmm. ECs. I'm allowed 40. Everybody gets 40 E-coins a month. Mm-hmm. I only use about 30 E-coins. Isn't that amazing?
Not even.
Yeah. So I'd like to sell those E-coins mm-hmm. to the highest bidder.
The highest bidder.
That would be effing awesome.
Right.
It would be totally awesome.
Absolutely.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
And they kind of talk that in like...
Until it's not.
Until it's not a brilliant idea.
And then somebody else has to come up with maybe Norman will come up with another.
I believe he will. But there is something so sweet about this. Now, here's the problem. And I don't know I haven't seen the problem in this yet, except that mm-hmm. we would have to create the system that would handle everybody's credits and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's
Who
one
cares
thing.
About that stuff?
Yeah, that's the details.
Yeah.
Let someone, Elon Musk, here's our details. Can you figure that out?
Right.
Bill Gates, can you figure this out? But I remember 5-6 years ago, I was listening to this podcast, and I think, now I could be totally wrong on the details, but so what?
When are we
ever like 100% sure on the details?
Right.
But they were talking about in India, there was a pretty huge...
Oh,
industry.
I know. Yes.
Of renting your womb out.
Right.
Womb
with a view.
A womb with a view. Yeah. For people who couldn't have children, you know, they're
hence the term woman.
Yes. And, you know, or to gay men who didn't have, you know, couldn't have. And you can,
mostly it was a gay men mecca.
Yes. Because once one
India.
Started it, they're like, how'd you get a kid? We rented
a
womb.
How'd you get a kid so fast?
Yeah. India, rented a womb. Like, shh. I got to tell Steve, we got to go to India and get ourselves a womb.
So Adam and Steve went to India, rented a womb with a view.
9 months later, had a little baby. They're down $50,000. Yeah. But, you know, so what?
But the lady in India is up $50,000.
And that was life-changing.
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 Because India has a caste. And do you know what the bottom caste is called?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I can't remember either. I thought you knew.
Well, I mean, I heard it, but I don't remember it now.
I can't remember. It's really pivotal, too.
Alexa, what is the bottom caste called in India? Let's see if she'll know it. She'll say, I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know that one.
Are you kidding me?
So, yeah, it's like can't move or quicksand or something weird.
Yeah, but it's like bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, something.
Something really.
Bottom of the barrel.
Something like
bad.
That.
It was something that meant.
I'm surprised she doesn't know the answer to that.
Know. Yeah, I'll look it up.
Yeah.
But anyway, some reporter had found out about this and was like kind of like celebrating. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And they were having this one this one company that was facilitating the contracts from the women and the, mm-hmm. the people were having like a party, and they were
celebrating,
and the news media was there, and
it somehow got out,
and someone said, "This can't be right. I feel like these women are being taken advantage of, mm-hmm. and they're having to rent out their wombs." And you're like,
How dare they? When they could be just dying on the streets.
Exactly.
Or renting out, or like letting us have their womb.
And as far as I know, at that time, then they had started making it less and less available, like more illegal mm-hmm. to rent your womb out. Ooh, we had a little surge there.
Wow.
And then therefore, whoa, losing power, people. We're okay. But then all of a sudden you have these women who cannot take care of themselves now.
Right.
You know, this was their way to get up,
their family together.
Exactly. So what a shitty thing, right?
Right.
You know, how do you spell cast?
C-A-S-T-E.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Do you think it's because of the storm that we're losing power like this?
It could be, yeah.
Interesting, because we're in the midst of a spring rainstorm.
Yeah.
What is that, Lois?
I don't know. Yeah, show me.
When something is going to bug you like that, if you don't find out.
I know. I'm looking, but I can't see it quickly enough. So.
Okay, that's okay. We'll put it down.
You know, they called it, it's because it's about positive discrimination by receiving a certain percentage of government jobs for the lower castes and other marginal groups. Well, I like that. Mm.
Alexa? What is the lowest caste in India called?
Here's something I found on the web.
Found on the web, let's see.
According to TrumpPaperWhitehouse.com, Dalits are a group of people who constitute the lowest caste in Indian society.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Answer your question?
No.
Yes, thank you. Mom, don't say no to her because she then feels bad.
Thanks for your feedback.
She feels bad.
She didn't feel bad about that.
She did. She did feel bad. Dalits. I don't know what that means.
No, it's not it. It's an actual sentence.
Yeah.
I'll say next week. I'll tell you guys next week.
Will you tell us next week?
Not really.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. But so what will be the unintentional consequence of us all getting a yearly EC, a yearly credit,
mm-hmm.
Energy coin, and then selling them to richer people.
Well, my feeling is this, that at some point in history,
yeah,
everybody's going to be living in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house.
Yes.
Because it's all going to end up
shaking out like that.
Somebody will be getting up from poverty.
From two-bedroom house.
Somebody will be going down.
Yes.
And so at some point, there's going to be a median.
Yes.
That was my
All right. Well, I like that theory.
And then we're all communists.
Yeah. Are we?
If everybody's got the same.
But do we all want the same? Because certainly I don't know. But I think we're all communists. Because we're all the same. First off, we're not all having 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. But we're striving for that.
No, some of us want the simple life.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, I'm glad that Dad's thinking. Now, when does he have these bright thoughts, life-changing thoughts?
When he's in the truck.
Oh.
You know, for example, he was talking about how plastic is making all men not be able to have children.
Okay,
semen is bad.
Yes.
Because of plastic.
I heard the story too. I thought it was groundbreaking. They're saying that everywhere you go now, because there's plastic in everything.
Yeah.
In all
and
your
then
food.
He was, and then he was saying that high fructose corn syrup is destroying everybody's metabolism and everything else.
Yes.
And so he was saying we should put all the high fructose corn syrup in plastic bottles.
And then my God.
Send them into space.
No way.
Heal the planet.
I fucking love this idea.
Tell Elon Musk.
Yes.
Build a bigger rocket ship.
Out of plastic.
Put all the HF, what are they, HFCs?
High fructose corn syrup.
In the plastic bottles.
Yep.
Once and for all. Send them to Mars.
And then also the high fructose corn syrup and then the hydrogen hydrogenated oils.
Yes.
That was unhydrogenated. Oh, yeah. What is it called?
What are those called?
One of those things. We used to know those things, but we try and avoid them so much we don't want to say the word. We avoid them like the plague. Which
we've
been
saying this week a lot.
What?
Maybe everybody has been, but that words aren't coming to us as easily as we thought this week.
And I'm thinking that
it could be energy. I don't know.
It could be energy. Yeah. But we're also saying it's because of the vaccine. No, we're not.
You can blame it on anything you want, Julie.
Exactly. But it's true, though. I was listening to Sessions, I think. I don't know. Maybe not. And they were interviewing the backup singer for the Rolling Stones who did that song, you know, murder, rave, it's just a shadow away. It's just a shadow away. You know that song?
No.
Yes, you do. She sings that song in the background.
No.
You know. Oh, come on.
With the
Rolling Stones?
Yeah. Maybe a song. Maybe.
Yeah. You know, if you hear the song, you go.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I think I do, Jill, but okay. I wasn't connecting with the way you're saying
it. Her first name is Mary. I don't know her last name.
Okay.
But she tells a kind of a cool story about this when she was a gospel singer, and she was doing some background stuff. And what happened was she got a call from this one producer who knew her well enough. Millenite, she's like 8 months pregnant. She's sleeping in bed with her husband. Millenite, he calls and says, "Hey, Mary, I got a job for you. You're going to be, you know, background singer for these guys called the Rolling Stones." And she was just on with, who's the blind guy?
Stevie Wonder?
No, older.
Ray Charles.
And she had no idea who the Stones were.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, I'm kind of tired. I'm pregnant. But she knew this producer, and she's like, and he's like, no, I think this will help you in your career. Come. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, this guy, whenever he says come, I need to come.
Mm-hmm.
So she, you know, and her, at that moment, her husband grabs a phone out of her hand and started kind of yelling at the producer, like, dude, you know, it's like one, you know, it's midnight. Why do you want, you know, we're in bed, you know, and she's like,
8 months pregnant.
She's 8 months pregnant. What are you doing? And he's like, No, come on, you know, it'd be good for her career, yada, yada, yada. So she gets up, goes to the studio, and she meets the Rolling Stones.
Mm.
And they're not there in the studio, right? They're in the back, probably smoking, who knows. But Keith Richards comes to her and says,
oh, yeah, he's the one that's not smoking.
Yeah, and goes, hey, are you Mary? You know, I can't do my British accent. He's like, yeah, Mary. He goes, ah, oh, great seeing you. You know, thank you for coming out and helping us, you know, something like that. And they're like, well, what do you want me to do? Because she just wants to lay the track down and get the fuck out. And they go, okay, the first one is Children. It's just a shot away. And so she sings it. It's real high, real high falsetto voice. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, okay, that's kind of cool. And then the next line is rape, murder. It's just a shot away. It's just, you looking at me like you have no idea what the song is.
I know. I don't. I can't. Okay.
It's like a popular song.
Okay.
But so she sings it, and the guys in the, so she's in a little studio by herself.
Right.
She's just laying the track down. And she sees the guys all clapping, like, oh, this must have been what they were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and they're like, this was great. Can you do it again? And he's like, she's like, okay, I'll do it one more time. But I'm getting kind of tired. You know, mm-hmm. I just want to go home and go to, you know, and mm-hmm. she's like, oh, just do it more time. And she did it two more times.
Mm-hmm.
And she did all of her stuff. And she's in that documentary about 5 feet away from fame or whatever it's called. But it's about all these backup singers who literally have, you know, were so instrumental in all the music from the decades.
Wow.
You know?
And is it on Netflix? Or?
Might be, but I've always wanted to see this documentary.
Yeah. And, they say the documentary about the Bee Gees is also
excellent.
Really good.
Oh,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she's talking about it, and so they played a little bit of the version of it with only her part. They mm-hmm. eliminated all the Stones.
No.
And it was chilling because she is literally screaming at this highest, highest falsetto voice.
Wow.
And at one point, her voice cracks a little bit, and she goes, well, I just was trying to feel the song, and I'm just grateful that it cracked in tune.
Mm.
Like, it didn't crack sharp, it cracked in tune.
Wow.
And it was just so poignant.
Wow.
But, you know, she said it was life-changing for her. life changing is the right word. She said it was changing her musically because at that point, all these rock and rollers wanted her in their songs.
Oh, that's so
It was so awesome.
You should find out her name.
Yeah, I will.
There's a lot of people out there, Jillian, in the media, using the word life changing and game changing.
And rollback or reset.
And a reset, yeah.
Yeah.
What is that all about, Jules? Is it too late to find out to think about this?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I was hoping that you'd have more to say about it because, so I can get this done. Oh. But you're just literally throwing me a question.
I'm hearing life changing. And I know in The Masked Singer, everything this year is a game changing.
Yes.
You know, and this one podcast or one television show that I'm listening to is called Effortless Changing.
Yes. So, by the way, the song is called Gimme Shelter by the Stones.
Gimme Shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gimme Shelter, Alexa.
Yes. You want to have him play that one or no?
Alexa, Gimme Shelter.
I'll let you hear a little bit in the background. I could play it for you.
Alexa, play the song Gimme Shelter.
Oh, Mama, I got it.
Gimme Shelter.
Let's see if you guys know it.
See if we can hear her.
Let's see if we can hear. You know, it starts off, you know this song. It starts out really ominous. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do. This is all Mary Clayton singing this song.
Is that her right now?
Yep. That's her in the background.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
She's 8 months pregnant, walks in, meets the Stones for the first time, has no idea who they are. And she's in this iconic song for the rest of her life. And I guess she gets a little royalties from it, too. I don't know how much.
Does she?
She didn't. They asked her. She wouldn't say how much. You know? Oh. Now, this is a time when they literally had 12 minutes of intro. So this sucks a little bit.
Well, are there words?
Yeah, here it is. No, 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 no.
I'm not sure I know. I mean,
oh, Mom, you know this song. Okay, here comes the Bill part. I might put a little bit in the, I don't know. He goes, children, it's just a shot away. It's just a shot away.
Oh, is that her?
That's her. You hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I may interject this. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. I heard a girl.
Okay. Alexa, stop. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I just wanted to let you know, because I heard this and I was like, this is such a wonderful song. And I just felt so happy for her because here she is. She's iconic in this field of background singers.
Yeah.
She's the girl. She's the woman. And here
she is. Did she ever want to become...
She's worked with the Bee Gees. She's worked with Carol King. She worked with all the people from Laurel Canyon. You know, I thought you'd like that.
You know me and Laurel Canyon.
I know.
I'm there for that.
You know, so I mean, it's like all these great things, and it was sweet because just to let everybody know, you know, Doug had a little incident this morning. He's okay, but he's at the hospital.
Well, you can talk to him. You can say about
it. We're almost out of time, but I'll say a little bit about it.
Just say a little bit. They can have prayers for him then.
Okay, cool. No, he just had...
he's in ICU.
Yeah. And he just...
He's first of all, he's been locked up for a couple weeks with knee surgery.
Yes.
And he really literally can't move.
Right. And then 2 weeks... About a month before the knee surgery, he started having blood clots for whatever reason.
In his legs.
Nothing is bad, like, you know.
So they put him on blood thinners.
Right. Which now has led to a flare-up of, I can't even think of the right name.
But anyway, he's bleeding from his
rectum.
You know what.
Yeah. And I guess it
And looks, not just, like, trickle down.
No, it's a lot.
It's a clotting.
It's a clotting problem, and it looks like a crime scene. And it was funny because his daughter Hillary went to start cleaning up his house, and he's like...
Because he himself called the ambulance.
And, you know
3
a.m. how life circles back? You know, last week we talked about the mattress museum. And just on the clear blue sky, she goes, I'll tell you right now, this mattress looks like It's a Pollock crime scene. And it was like, and I'm like, oh my God, we could put that in the Mattress Museum. I said, so that would be wild.
We are going to have, we are slowly getting a Mattress Museum.
Exactly, exactly. So girlfriend, how's the show this week?
Oh.
Please pray for him, but I think he's going to be okay.
Yes, yes.
He's going to be okay.
But the show, it was great.
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.